Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
I'm Kathy with a K.
And I'm Kathy with a C.
And this is Killer Destinations.
This case involves one of the most notorious crimes in recent history, and it happened over the course of over two decades. But it was her perpetrator's identity and the lengths that he went to hide his crimes that shocked the world.
Today's destination is Amstetten, Austria. The town of Amstetten is located in the northeastern part of Austria, about 75 miles west of Vienna. It boasts a rich history with traces of human settlements in the area tracing back to the Stone Age and the Bronze Age. The town's strategic location along the ancient trade routes contributed to its growth and significance. During the Middle Ages, Amstetten developed into a prominent market town, benefiting from the thriving commerce in the region. In the 19th century, the introduction of the railway further propelled Amstetten's developments, making it an important transportation hub. This period saw the expansion of industries and the establishment of various businesses, which significantly boosted the local economy. And in 1868, Amstetten became the seat of the local district administration. During World War II, the area served as a site for several military operations. And there were also two sub-camps of the Mauthausen-Gusen concentration camp. However, the town has since been rebuilt and transformed into a peaceful and prosperous community. Today, visitors to Amstetten can explore its historical landmarks, like the beautiful Roman Catholic Basilica Sonntagberg, and take part in local culture by attending traditional festivals and events. Amstetten residents take great pride in local crafts, cuisine, and their orchestra. But in 2008, Amstetten residents were singing a different tune. The pride they once felt was quickly overshadowed by shame when they realized that their unfounded trust in one pillar of the community created the perfect setting for a shocking tale of abuse.
Josef Fritzl was born in April of 1935 in Amstetten, Austria. In 1956, when he was 21 years old, he married 17-year-old Rosemarie, and the two started a life together. Josef proved to be adept at engineering and ultimately became a very well-respected electrical engineer. The couple had seven children, four girls and three boys, and they raised their children in the same house that Josef grew up in. The home was a large two-story building consisting of multiple units, some of which were leased to non-family members. The home was on a busy street, and all the homes on that street were fairly large. All of these homes had front doors that entered directly onto the sidewalk. So nobody had front yards, but everybody had large parcels in the back so that the kids could play. Anyway, so in this home, the Fritzls raised their seven children. According to an article in The Independent by writer David Randall, plunked right in the middle of the seven was Elizabeth. She was born in 1966, and she was a cute girl. She had wholesome good looks, and she grew into an independent-minded young lady. When she was still in her teens, she wanted to leave home, and in fact, she ran away twice. One time, she got as far as Vienna, which was 75 miles from Amstetten. Right. Both times, however, the authorities caught her and brought her back home. Then in 1984, when Elizabeth was 18 years old, she told her parents that she was going to move in with her older sister. But Elizabeth never did that. Instead, she left home for good and cut off all contact with her family. Elizabeth's mother, Rosemarie, was heartbroken and distressed when Elizabeth left, and she wanted the police to look for her. She also wanted to search for her daughter, but she really didn't even know where to begin. So she went to the police station and said, hey, my daughter's gone. I know she's run away previously, but please go find her. Then the Fritzels received a letter, and Yosef told police about the letter. He said, hey, our daughter has written to us, and she told us not to look for her, but we still want you to look. But the search was fruitless. Yosef believed that Elizabeth joined a cult, and soon the family received letters which supported his belief. Rosemary gave up looking, but not hoping. She wanted her daughter home. But as the days turned into years with no contact, Rosemary's hope dwindled.
Then in 1992, 8 years after Elizabeth left, something unbelievable happened. A baby was left on the Fritzl's doorstep. It was a baby girl who was less than a year old, but definitely not a newborn. There was a note with the baby that was from their daughter, Elizabeth. She explained to her parents that the baby was hers, but she couldn't raise her and wanted her parents to care for her instead. Yosef and Rosemary contacted the local police and reported this development. They kept the baby and asked police to reignite the search for their daughter. However, Elizabeth clearly did not want to be found, and the authorities came up empty. Rosemary and Yosef adopted the little girl named Lisa, who grew up with them in their large Amstetten home. In the following 4.5 years, Elizabeth dropped off 2 additional children, a girl named Monica and a boy named Alexander. The 2 came with notes similar to the first one. So now here we are in 1996, and Elizabeth has been gone for more than 12 years, but she had managed to ask her parents to raise 3 of her children. Each time the child was left, her parents contacted police, requested a renewed search for their daughter, and kept the baby. With social workers having regular visits to the home, it appeared to them that all 3 of these children were growing up healthy. Now, Rosemary loved each of her grandchildren, but understandably, she wanted her own daughter to come home.
Yeah, of course. And she and her husband, Yosef, were in touch with their 6 other children. And I remember hearing, you know, when my kids were little, you're only as happy as your least happy child. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's not true. That's not true. That's BS. It is 100% true. Your kids will drag you down, drag you down. But it's so true. Like, you worry about the least happy or the missing or the prodigal child or whatever. And here we are. You know, it's like she wanted her fold. She wanted that one lamb to return to the fold.
Then in April of 2008, so this is now 12 years after the last baby, Alexander, was left on the doorstep, something terrible happened. Yosef and Rosemary called an ambulance to their home because one of their grandchildren was critically ill. But it was not one of the 3 grandchildren already living there. It was Elizabeth's daughter, but it was 19-year-old Kirsten, who was dropped off with a note saying that she had a headache, so she had taken an aspirin and immediately went into convulsions. The ambulance rushed Kirsten to the Amstetten hospital, but by the time she arrived, she was already unconscious. Yosef arrived well after the ambulance and was able to talk to the doctor after he had already seen Kirsten. The doctor was asking a lot of questions that Yosef wasn't able to answer, and all Yosef could really tell him was that Kirsten had been dropped off at his home and explained that Kirsten's mother, Elizabeth, was nowhere to be found. He also told the doctor that Kirsten had dropped off 3 additional children over the last 12 years, and that he and his wife were raising them. Now, Kirsten was so ill and suffering from such a severe lack of oxygen that her organs were actually starting to fail. Doctors were pressing Yosef for information on Kirsten's health history, but he couldn't provide any information. So the doctors told Yosef that Kirsten was very, very sick, and they were deeply concerned and puzzled by her terrible condition. They needed answers. So a story was broadcast on television with doctors begging Elizabeth to come forward and help them with Kirsten's medical history so that they could properly treat her. But there was no response. A week went by. Kirsten deteriorated. She was now on a ventilator, in a medically induced coma, and had been placed on dialysis.
Then 1 week after Kirsten was taken to the hospital, her mother, Elizabeth Fritzel, appeared out of nowhere. She had seen the TV broadcast and was desperate to tell the doctors about her daughter. It was the first time she appeared in Amstetten since she left almost 25 years before. Elizabeth was with her father, Joseph, and desperately in a hurry to speak to the doctors, but somebody had tipped off the police. So as they were on the hospital grounds and before they entered the hospital, the police said, hey, we need to talk to you. Because of Kirsten's horrible condition, she was completely pale, she was malnourished, and she had lost many of her teeth, not to mention the dialysis and the organ
failure.
That was happening with her.
They actually described her as being ghostly pale.
Exactly. So the police want to talk to Elizabeth. They believe that Kirsten's condition did not occur overnight. They saw her, they spoke to the doctors, and they believed that her horrific medical condition was a result of long-standing and severe neglect. So police were prepared to arrest Elizabeth once she had a conversation with the doctors. So what happens is police pull her aside and they say, come speak with us in this private room. They start asking her questions about where she came from, what was going on with her daughter, you know, where she'd been, how many kids she'd had, this kind of thing.
But they also said she looked really odd.
Yes.
Like she too was ghostly pale. And I think she was 42 at the time. Am I correct?
Correct.
And they said she looked years and years older than her 42 years.
Right. Exactly. And there was an article written by David Randall in The Independent. And he basically said the police were like, what is going on here? This lady looks unusual as well. There was some vibe that was off. But they were frustrated by Elizabeth because she was being very vague in her answer. She wasn't giving them anything substantive. Then she said, can you guarantee that my children and I will never see my father again? The police were
stunned.
Shocked. Exactly.
Gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked, exactly.
Apoplectic. No, yep. That's not the right word.
But they didn't expect to hear that out of her mouth because her father was this very sweet 72-year-old, you know, little Josef Fritzl, who was very helpful and concerned about Kirsten.
And raising her other three children.
Exactly. Elizabeth then told police a story that left them speechless and horrified. She said that back in 1984, she had not run away to join a cult. That was a lie. She said that her father had done what no one could imagine a father would do. He locked her in the basement of their home, raped her, and forced her to write letters about joining a cult and giving up the children fathered by him. The police, of course, were like skeptical. They're like, wait a second. You know, Josef Fritzl, he's one of the pillars of our community. What are you talking about?
But we've never had complaints about him from anyone before.
Exactly. And yet, at the same time, Kirsten being so sick, so pale, so vitamin D deprived, Elizabeth looking that same way with that ghostly pallor, they're like, okay, we got to check this out. Elizabeth told police that until she came to the hospital in April of 2008 to see her daughter Kirsten, she had literally not seen the light of day in nearly 25 years. Unbelievable. She also told them that she had been living with three of her children in the basement. So Joseph and Rosemary have three children that Elizabeth supposedly gave up, and Elizabeth is living in the basement with three children. Kirsten was her oldest, who was 19. Then she had Stefan, who was 18. And then she had Felix, who was 5. And so the cops are like, are you kidding me? There's kids in the basement? One of the things, Kath, that I read when I was doing some research for this article is that all the journalists started talking about the upstairs kids and the downstairs kids, which...
sounds callous.
It sounds callous, but it's like a perfect way of explaining things.
Right.
You know, there were three upstairs and three downstairs. The two oldest and the baby, the youngest, who really wasn't a baby, he was 5, were in the basement. Police listened politely, questioned Elizabeth. There was some very serious skepticism, but then they're like, we got to go search the Fritzl home. And they found the basement exactly as Elizabeth had described. All 6 of her children were taken into custody that day, and they needed to be evaluated by psychologists, so they were all placed in a mental health facility. And apparently the two recently released boys, the 18-year-old and the 5-year-old, because, you know, Kirsten, the 19-year-old, is still in the hospital. I guess they were in total awe and wonder.
Because they were seeing things they hadn't seen in real life.
Correct. And like a car would drive by and they were nervous, you know, but they were tripping out on the police cars. They had a TV in the basement, so they had seen them on TV, but this is the first time seeing them in real life and having police officers come into your home. And now you get to go outside. And the 5-year-old, I read an article where he said, I just want to feel what it feels like to have the rain come down on me. So all of the kids were taken to the mental health facility, and every police officer who was involved in this investigation was just horrified because the 18-year-old was hunched over because the basements of the ceiling were low. He was hunched over, sickly, you know, vitamin D deficient, definitely malnourished. They were extremely nutrient deficient.
And imagine the guilt from the three upstairs kids that they had siblings
and the shock.
And didn't know. Yeah.
And the shock. Exactly.
They were one of six as opposed to one of three.
Exactly. So Elizabeth was also placed in this mental health institution. And with the assistance of psychologists, the upstairs kids were reunited with their mother that they did not know was living below them their whole lives in this basement. It leaves me speechless, honestly, like what
there's
this
not
man
enough
did,
therapy in the world.
There's not enough therapy in the world, I swear. Rosemarie goes to see her daughter for the first time in nearly 25 years. And apparently, according to one of the psychologists who was later quoted in the newspaper, the two began hugging each other and would not let go. And Rosemarie was crying and she kept saying, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't even wrap my mind around
all
the suffering of all of them. Josef Fritzl was a monster. And the truth is, every single article I read that had a photo of him, he looked like a monster.
Okay, he looked like the Grinch in people form.
Yeah.
With the eyebrows that went up.
The eyebrows
eyes
were like bizarre.
Well, and his eyes were like all big and green, and he had the same like style of eyebrow and everything. He looked like if you put a face on the Grinch, that was him. He did look like evil personified.
Yeah, he did. He honestly did. Yeah. Like, I know that journalists are designed, you know, like they want to do things to capture that, but damn, they captured it. They captured
his vibe. I think
he
made it easy for him. But soon all the details began coming out. It turned out that when Elizabeth was 18 and her father Josef was 49, he asked her to go down to the basement with him and help him carry a door out of there. But once they were down there, he grabbed her and he covered her mouth with a rag soaked with chloroform, and she passed out. During the time she was passed out, Josef had dragged her through a small door in the corner of the basement and into this dungeon chamber that he had been working on for at least 3 years. When Elizabeth awoke, she found herself tied to a bed in a 200-square-foot soundproof room in the basement. On Elizabeth's second day in this basement dungeon, her father came down and raped her. For the next 5 years, Elizabeth lived in this room alone with no windows, no books, no sun, fresh air, rain, anything. Just visits from her father when he dropped off food and raped her. It was clear to the police that meticulous planning had gone into this dungeon for years. In 1978, Josef obtained permission to build a nuclear shelter, which was not uncommon during the Cold War. In 1983, inspectors confirmed that it had been completed, but they were only looking at a 2-room reinforced concrete basement. They were unaware of a hidden door leading to a hidden room. And Kath, here's also what's interesting. This wasn't the first time this had happened in Austria. Do you remember, I think it was about 10 years before all of this came out, a young woman from Austria, I think it was just outside of Vienna, Natasha Kampusch?
I have zero recollection of this.
She was kidnapped. I believe she was 10 years old and she was kidnapped by a stranger off the street, taken to his home and put into his basement where she lived for years, where he would rape her and leave her down there with food and whatnot and just kind of come down whenever he could and do horrible things to her. But he began eventually trusting her and he let her into different parts of his house. And I believe that she got away 8 years later. So she went from being 10 when she was taken to 18 years old. He had her outside detailing the van he used for work. And so she was out there, you know, neighbors could see her and whatnot. And she was vacuuming it. He got a phone call. The vacuum was too loud. So he kind of walked off so that he could take the phone call. And she left the vacuum running and ran. She ran through the backyards of neighbors. It was something like 200 football fields. Nope. It probably felt like that.
Exactly.
It was like 200 yards. So like two football fields that she ran, yelling at people that she passed by, asking them to call the police, and everybody ignored her.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And so finally, she stopped at a house where there was an elderly woman who was there and begged her to call the police, which she did. Now, what happened in the meantime, however, is her abductor, his name was Wolfgang, he figured out that she had escaped, and so he walked in front of a train and killed himself.
What a coward. He'll answer in the afterlife, but...
The only thing that I thought that was good that came out of that is she never had to worry about him coming after her again.
That is a very, very good point. You're right about that. Like, if somebody did that to me, I just want him dead. I want him dead.
You don't
want
to worry. He's going to get out of prison. He's going to have a family member come after you. He's going to, you know, do whatever.
That's true. Train, heart attack, whatever.
Right.
Just die. When I was doing research for this story, it's, you know, going on to the old newspapers where you put in like Josef Fritzl, you know, as your tagline or whatever, different articles pop up. And so I was doing research in 2008 when the story was uncovered in the year 2008, but I was really doing it in 2025.
We've created time travel.
Anyway, so I'm looking at newspapers from 2008 and I come across an American newspaper. It was the New York Times talking about an Italian case. They mention Josef Fritzl in the article because they are saying there was something similar that happened in Italy. But it was actually kind of horrifying. They're all horrifying. This was like exceptionally like, are you kidding me? Because these girls, it was like girls in a family who were abused by their father. And then he encouraged their brothers to do the same thing. They weren't fully kept captive and they went to the police and complained and nothing was done. Nothing. And this was like a, I don't know what better way to say it, a generational thing in this family. Yeah. Incest was a generational thing. And the article was actually about the fact that at the time, now again, this is 2008, three European countries did not consider incest between adults a crime.
What countries?
I only remember Spain and Portugal. So the third one is off the hook.
Wow. We'll look this up.
Exactly. But I cannot remember.
2008, though.
2008. And incest doesn't happen when you're 18. I mean, it does, but it's like, it's an earlier thing. Yes. It's a childhood thing.
It's child abuse.
Yeah, it's totally. And so what was interesting was Josef Fritzl's name being in many different articles about incest and different penalties for different things. And I can't remember exactly what the amount of time for prison was in Austria for incest, but it was insanely low.
Oh, it was. I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was interesting that this case opened a can of worms to other situations. So can I describe the basement?
Please.
Okay. So as Kath said, the inspectors came in 1983 and were like, yes, you have a wonderful, you know,
bunker for when the bomb is blown up and we all need to hide. Yeah.
We're all going to pretend that you're going to survive a nuclear holocaust in your bumper.
Exactly.
I said bumper. Bunker. So the basement was two rooms, but as Kath said, the inspectors missed the hidden room. In the very corner, hidden by cupboards, was a door, this hidden door, and it was about 2.5 feet high. The door was steel, and it was electronically controlled. And the entire dungeon that he built out was reinforced concrete, soundproofed. And that's why the ceilings were so low. That's why Stefan was cramped. The ceilings were about 5'6" on average. And he had created a false ceiling to soundproof everything. But anyway, so you went through this little door that was 2.5 feet high and you enter into what I'm going to call a foyer.
It was very fancy.
It was a very fancy dungeon. And again, it was a tiny room, soundproof, and it had a steel door. So imagine you're walking in a straight line. You go through this little 2.5 foot door, and then in front of you in the foyer is a steel door. You go through the steel door that's also electrically controlled. And then you enter into this room that was Elizabeth's dungeon for 5 years and then some, because we got to get into that. He added on. Should I get into the addition now?
I'd get into it now.
Okay.
As long as you're describing it, let's just describe the whole thing.
So once Elizabeth started having kids, Josef realized like, hey, there's three people living here now. At the time, I believe she was pregnant with her third child. So she had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old living in this cramped space. So he added two more rooms and he basically stacked them in a linear fashion. So you have this little soundproof foyer. You have the original prison, which is now, I'm going to call it a bunk room with two little twin beds. Then you go through another like narrow
corridor.
Exactly. And you are in the kitchenette. And I want to say it had a kitchen and a toilet in that center room and a small shower.
Sink.
Yeah. And then the third and final room was a bedroom. And so it was, I want to say that bedroom had a double bed. It was hot. It had zero windows. They had like not actual ventilation, like heat and cooling, but they had an air vent. There was like a tube that came up in a couple different parts so they could get adequate oxygen. But when police went in, they said the walls were dripping with condensation simply from human beings being in there and breathing. And they said it was smelly. There was mold growing on the walls
everywhere
because it was so moist, and they had occasional rat problems. So this place was terrible.
It was hell on earth.
Yeah, exactly. So let's back up to when Elizabeth was placed in there. Again, she was in this initial like single cell by herself for years. She gets pregnant. In her seventh month of pregnancy, her father gave her a book on pregnancy and childbirth. She delivered her own child by herself with one dirty blanket, some diapers, and a pair of scissors. Joseph did not come and check on her for 10 days.
And for pain.
Forgot about that.
He gave her a combination of aspirin and cough medicine.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievably, this baby was born and born healthy.
And stayed healthy.
And this was Kirsten. This was
the 19-year-old who was in the hospital.
Yeah, who eventually like blew up the whole story by having to be transported to the hospital. So Elizabeth, being a mother, did not stop her father from coming downstairs on a near daily basis to rape her. And eventually she had more children.
Now, in all, Elizabeth had 7 children resulting from her father's rapes. From 1988 to 1996, her first 6 children were born every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Her last child was born several years after the 6th child in 2002.
So in 1992, when she has her 3rd child, Lisa, she's still in this little cramped room. And Joseph basically says, look, this is too small. And that's when he did the 2 additions, like the kitchenette and the other bedroom. So with Lisa, and I believe, Kat, that she was 9 months old at the time. So I believe she had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then a 9-month-old baby. He basically said, she cries a lot. You need to give her up.
She was going to ruin it for him. She was going to give him away.
That was probably his fear.
Yeah, exactly.
So she forced Elizabeth to write a note saying, Mom and Dad, this is my baby. Her name is Lisa. Will you raise her? So Lisa goes upstairs. And even though the additions were made, Joseph still took her 4th and 5th child up as well. So the 4th child was Monica. The 5th child was Alexander. And so those are the 3 upstairs kids, the middle kids.
So, as we said, the first 2 children, Kirsten and Stefan, were downstairs children. The 3rd one was Lisa. She went upstairs, as did Monica and Alexander, the 4th and 5th children. And Felix was child number 7. The 6th child was actually Alexander's twin brother, Michael. But what happened is that when the twins were born, Michael had a hard time breathing from the beginning. He was struggling to get oxygen and just wasn't able to take enough in. So Elizabeth, of course, talked to her father and said, we've got to get help for him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to make it if we don't do anything for him. And I don't remember the callous remark the father made, but it was something like, he'll be fine.
He said something like, we just have to let what will be. Basically like a hands-off approach.
Right. Tragically, Michael did die.
He was alive for 3 days.
And poor Elizabeth had to listen to him struggle to breathe for 3 days.
Yep.
Unable to take enough oxygen in to survive.
Right. And then once he died, Joseph burned his body.
In an incinerator.
Exactly. According to a 2009 article in the Daily Telegraph by Gordon Rayner and Caroline Gammel, Joseph Fritzl, who is now 73 years old, was charged with murder by neglect for Michael, incest, rape, enslavement, coercion, and coercion being like the threats of,
if you leave, you'll die.
And yeah, exactly. And we'll get into that, as well as false imprisonment. He admitted to all of the crimes except enslavement and murder. And murder, of course, carried the potential for a life sentence, so he wasn't going to roll over on that. His attitude was like, yes, I burned a body, because he did admit to burning Michael's body, but I had nothing to do with his death. When the trial began in 2009, Elizabeth appeared by video, and they allowed her to do so because of the nature of the crime. And at the time, I have no idea if it's this way now, but Austria would allow victims of sex-based crimes to testify in video. They don't have to appear and present themselves to the defendant. Elizabeth testified to all the things that we just talked about, but she also testified that she was given a TV and she was given books, and she insisted that her children learn to read and do math and all this kind of stuff. So they were taught 2 to 3 hours a day. And according to her attorney, and I'm going to call them the downstairs children, who at the time he was interviewed were Stefan and Felix, because Kirsten was still in the hospital, were very, very well-mannered. And he was surprised by
how well-read they were and how intelligent they were.
Yeah, like you said, they were doing well, because there were actually articles in the newspaper at the time that said the little, like the older boy, the 18-year-old and the 5-year-old communicated by grunting and barely could talk and all this kind of stuff. But the lawyer was like, no, 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 they're doing fine.
They're better than your kids.
They're pale because they've never, literally their whole lives have never been in the sun.
That's crazy.
And they're nutrient deficient. And obviously, you know, being in the cave affected their health, but he was emphasizing their potential. So according to this article in the Daily Telegraph, Elizabeth, who, as you can imagine, was, I'm going to call it beaten into submission, but that's not quite what I mean. But like, she was raped by her own father multiple times, who was an electrical engineer. And so what he said was, if you try to escape, I built an electric door that would kill anyone that broke the light barrier surrounding it. And so he convinced Elizabeth and the children, if you went through this electric door, poisonous gas would be released and fill the room. Honestly, there was no reason for Elizabeth not to believe what he was saying.
Look at the horror he'd created to that point.
He had already shown her what a monster he could be.
Exactly.
In addition, there were multiple doors that Elizabeth would have to go through to escape. I read in many articles that there were 8 doors. I think that 3 of those doors were in the dungeon, and then the other doors were leading to the basement, because when Yosef rented to tenants, so imagine this nice big subdivided property, but his family had a 2-story unit. And when he rented to tenants the smaller units inside the home, he would say, you cannot have anything stored in my basement. You're not allowed to go in my basement. It was a very, very big deal.
So, and it reminded me of, like, if anybody ever tells you not to go somewhere and it's locked and you're not allowed, figure out how to get there or call the cops. Because it's always bad.
Something's up. So there was a lot of controversy, actually, Kath, like along that line with respect to Rosemary, Yosef's wife. She was not charged with anything. And people were like, why not? What's the deal? Did she know anything? But it appears that she did not. So when Yosef was arrested, they had him interviewed by psychologists. And I saw an interview. I cannot remember if it was a real psychologist who interviewed him or armchair psychologist. Honestly, I read too much and I saw too much. But the guy basically said, people like Yosef who victimize their own daughters have 2 problems. Number one.
Only 2?
Well, they probably have many. But the 2 main ones were disordered lust. You blame the object of your abuse for your lustful sexual feeling. The second thing was the need to control. So I assume, although I did not read it, that Rosemary was also sort of a victim in her husband's controlling.
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Because while they were married.
Yeah.
And after Elizabeth was born.
This is like a dozen years into their marriage.
Yeah. In 1967. So they had 4 children at this point.
Elizabeth, was it 67?
It was 1967 because Elizabeth was born in 66.
Right.
Yosef was arrested and charged with raping a woman.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually convicted.
Right.
He had met a woman at a club. From what I read, he tried to get cozy with her and she didn't want to be around him. But she left and he followed her home, which she was not aware of. She went to bed with she had a small baby who slept in a bed next to her. He broke in and raped her and he went to prison. And his wife, Rosemary, visited him while he was in there and took him back.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. After it was on his record for 15 years, it is expunged from his record. And in everybody's minds, as far as legally goes, the rape never occurred, period.
When this news broke in 2008, reporters had a very difficult time digging into Yosef's background. And so this rape would have been, I'm calling it expunged, even though that's probably not the term they use in Austria.
Truly, like all records were destroyed.
So the story about him following this woman home, you know, from a club was repeated in every newspaper that I read who discussed, you know, the 1967 conviction.
And he was suspected of two other rapes.
Correct.
And I believe, was there a murder he was suspected of as well?
I do
or
not
am
know
I totally
that.
Making that
I feel
up.
Like you're making
okay,
that up. But whatever.
You I'm admitting. I might
license.
Be. Exactly.
Prove her wrong.
Exactly.
Prove her wrong.
And good luck. They expunge everything in Austria.
So 1967, he's convicted. I don't remember how much time he served for the rape.
It
not
was
enough.
Hardly anything. I think it was a couple years.
That's what I was going to say. I feel
if
like it
that.
Was 2 years.
Yeah.
But then Rosemary takes him back and he goes back to his old life in Amstetten.
And they have three more kids.
Exactly.
So, according to an AP article that was published on ABC News on May 15th, 2008, so this is nearly a month after being brought to the hospital, they finally got good news. Kirsten opened her eyes for the very first time and smiled.
Yay!
According to her doctors, she was making a remarkable recovery,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing news.
Yeah. It was reported that when she did actually start having full sentences and speaking, she was optimistic. She said something very simple like, this is good news. We have to be happy. Something like that.
I have chocolate?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing and probably guessing, but I'm sure it happened somewhere. It's Austria. They have amazing
chocolate. Do you have
crocodiles
here?
Seventy-three-year-old Yosef Fritzl was convicted on all charges and sentenced to life in prison. He served his sentence in an Austrian psychiatric prison for, quote, mentally abnormal inmates.
This was maximum security.
Right. Absolutely.
So think Silence of the Lambs, you know, like Clarice and whatever he did. Like, I can't even do it.
I am so glad this is on video. He was in like scary Austrian prison.
Exactly.
But in an article published just last month, so this is April of 2025, by Jasper King of the Metro UK News, he reported that a regional court ruled that Yosef no longer posed a threat to society and gave the green light for him to be transferred from a maximum security psychiatric hospital prison to a regular prison.
But even in a regular prison, he was segregated.
No gen pop for him.
No, he was not part of the gen pop. Although he probably deserved to be gen pop.
His lawyer wanted the then 89-year-old to be released from prison by his 90th birthday and put into the custody of a dementia center. However, Yosef's 90th birthday was last month, and thankfully, blessedly, he remains in prison. According to an article in The Mirror by Julia Banham, Saffron Otter, and Matt Roper, Elizabeth was given a new name following the trial, and Austria and several European countries have very strict laws, Germany is actually one of them, to prevent her identity from being revealed. And it's so serious that everybody adheres to this. Elizabeth now lives with her six surviving children in a very brightly painted house in what is described as a tiny hamlet in the Austrian countryside. The hamlet also cannot be identified and is only referred to by the country's press as Village X. It was also reported in this article, Kath, that Elizabeth is now involved in a romantic relationship. The children, who are now between the ages of 21 and 35, sleep in rooms with doors that are permanently open after undergoing weekly therapy sessions to eliminate the traumas they suffered inside the basement. Their two-story family home is kept under constant CCTV surveillance and patrolled by security guards, while any stranger caught lurking nearby, of course, can be expected to be picked up very quickly by the Polizei within minutes.
And the residents of this little countryside hamlet are super protective.
Which I love that.
I know, it's so good. And they just want everyone to be as normal as possible. So it's like, let them be.
Thank you for watching our very first video on YouTube. If in fact this makes it
if in
to
fact
YouTube,
it makes it because
we'll see.
Whatever, we're extremely uncomfortable.
I know, we're really hot.
I know, really hot.
We need to figure out how to do this better, but we're excited about being on YouTube because we've been doing shorts on YouTube for about 2.5 months now, 3 months almost.
I don't even know.
Something like that. And they've been very well received by everyone. And so we're hopeful to come here and find a good, strong following and hope you all like it.
Exactly.
And want to be our friends.
See you next time. Thanks so much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.